What we saw with Mr. Mugabe's birthday was a kind of faux sense of unity amongst the leadership of ZANU-PF. I don't think many people really believe that they've all kissed and made up. But having said that, ZANU-PF has a long history of being able to pull together in the face of adversity. The question really is there glue now inside the party, which was traditionally Mr. Mugabe? Does that glue really hold the party together? And is there an external threat or enemy that they will be able to come together and face? At this stage of the game, it doesn't look likely. And I have to say that there is certainly no major consensus about how this is going to play out. And this, of course, goes to the heart of the danger and the instability that our briefing, Stranded in Stasis, points out, that there is a necessity for ZANU-PF to provide some stability by giving some clarity on the succession issue. And, of course, this fiction that is being peddled by ZANU-PF that Robert Mugabe will stand as the candidate for the party in 2018 when he is 94 years old, I'm afraid reflects the kind of ludicrousy that is being peddled by senior members of ZANU-PF at the moment, which certainly does not contribute to presenting an image of stability and build confidence either internally within Zimbabwe or indeed regionally or internationally.
But the report does make reference to some of the statements that President Mugabe made, including at the State of the Nation, where he seemed to embrace the possibility of reforms. And it seems as though the briefing, at least, or the report is saying that if President Mugabe and his party do walk the talk, that there's maybe possibility of a better Zimbabwe within a ZANU-PF administration.
Well, yes. I mean, we're not discounting the possibility of potential progress under ZANU-PF's tutelage. The problem that we have to date is that essentially what we see on the table at the moment is evidence of a political leadership that is not taking the reform process seriously, is cherry-picking at certain issues, playing to the theatre of reform, and really not dealing with the profound structural challenges that face Zimbabwe. And there are a number of low-hanging fruit and issues that it could pursue but has chosen not to with respect to that. At the moment, the reform agenda is looked at narrowly through the lens of economic and financial reform through the SMP process that we see at the moment, and the IMF are likely to give Zimbabwe a green light on those issues. But I have to say, when it comes to issues around rule of law and governance, there are major, major problems in Zimbabwe.
Now, what is the possibility of anything changing before the 2018 elections, and what could those be?
Well, of course, the big game changer is going to be whether Mr. Mugabe stays at the top of the pile there and how the succession issue plays out. As the report notes, we're concerned that the ZANU-PF constitution is somewhat opaque on the issue of succession within the party. And we've seen what's going on in terms of the dynamics around successionist factionalism for control of provincial leadership and so forth. And that really reflects major concern about how subsequently the party is going to be able to pull together and with internal legitimacy put forward a candidate that the party can all rally behind. The 2018 elections themselves, I'm afraid, looking at the deficit, the electoral process relating to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission and the somewhat nefarious role that the Registrar General continues to play in relation to the voter's roll, which he still will not release, claiming a technical fault that no one knows what it is. I'm afraid we seem to be sleepwalking towards another illegitimate election in 2018.
And one more thing also, if you could address from the brief, the approach of the international community that seems to be watching from a distance, but at the same time ready to do something when the occasion calls. So what do you think will be the trigger where they'll be all in?
I think we're going to have to see some significant shifts as it relates to rule of law and governance concerns, and that relates to issues around the investment code and the controversial indigenization processes in Zimbabwe, which are still not clarified, that there are proper functioning systems of transparency and accountability in terms of government expenditure, that we see a commitment to the rule of law and issues around property rights are resolved, issues of compensation around the abuses on the farms, which, of course, the Zimbabwean government has always claimed that it will pay, it will deal with compensation, but yet hasn't done that. But, you know, what we've seen, for example, in the last couple of months is a series of evictions and violations, unlawful occupations of farms and abuses in the land process, which reflect the kind of broader-based problems that I've been talking about during the course of this interview, that the rule of law is still being dealt with selectively in Zimbabwe, and there is clear evidence of continued abuses. And this goes to the behavior of the police, this goes to the capacities of institutions to tackle that, whether it's the new Anti-Corruption Commission, whether it's the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission, and of course, let's not even get into the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission, which is highly controversial and we can see is going to be taken to the Constitutional Court because it really does look like a mess that's not intended to deal with its actual mandate.